for the kind of help we need. Kathy has returned for part two of her interventions in the program today to extend this kind of appeal and make the case, which she does real well, for something I hope you take to heart.
Yes, that's right. And I'm glad that you've already started calling. We have two callers on the line, and we're reaching out to those of you who have not yet done so to make that call. Don't be one who takes the information and doesn't give back, because there's real value in what you just heard by Professor Richard Wolfe. It was a magnificent audio essay on your responsibility and how are you looking at these things, and how are your intentions being misdirected, being led in the wrong direction. And we really have to ask ourselves, how do we become responsible to make the changes that we need to make in the world? Well, one of those steps you can take is to call this number, 212-209-2950. Support this program, Economic Update with Professor Richard Wolfe. And he comes to you every week with remarkable information on the economy. He talks about the local and the global economy. He tells you about the economic crisis and how it really came to be. Not the stories we hear on the mainstream, not the blame game we might hear of one party to the other party. He just told you how we have some self-responsibility here as well, and the way to change that is to fully embody that responsibility and begin to make change by understanding where the responsibility lies in terms of who has really used you in an economic way and taken your resources for their own gain. We need for you to share some of those resources that you do have with this radio station so that we can work together to challenge the economy, challenge capitalism, as Professor Wolfe does in his book, Occupy the Economy. We'll thank you with a copy of that book if you can make a pledge of $50 when you call 212-209-2950. If you can pledge at the $80 level, we also will include a CD, a dialogue with Professor Wolfe, in which he challenges capitalism, and it's of the same name, Occupy the Economy. So the book and the CD together is an $80 pledge. If you want to receive the book as your gift, send us a $50 donation. And if you want to pledge at the $35 level, we can offer you a copy of that CD. But remember, membership is really just $25, and you really can't go anywhere or do anything in this city for a $25 expense. And your donation is a contribution to an opportunity to inform, educate, and change the world that we live in. You're contributing, you're investing in the future of WBAI, of this program, Economic Update, but also for yourself, because the more people become aware, the more people begin to understand the crimes, the economic crimes that have befell our society, the more quickly we can turn this around, and we can demand change, and we can demand our rights, and we can demand that the criminals of this economy be held accountable. That's the power of information. That's the power of bringing your minds together and our intentions together, and with the direction of Professor Wolfe. And that's something that's worthy of your support. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. I know that you appreciate this program because it's got really great ratings. I mean, just on that level, people tune in. And if they miss it, they go back to WBAI.org and listen to the archive. And if they don't find it there, people get kind of miffed. So that means I know that you want this show to be here when you're ready for it, to listen to it, to share it. How often do you listen to the show and then email your friends or text your friends and say, you've got to hear this, and send them to our website? Well, if you're not doing that, you should be doing it. But you could also text them now and ask them to make a pledge. Call 212 212- 209-2950 and show your support for this radio station. It's an important radio station. We are listener supported for a reason, because if we were being supported by these corporations, I promise you, Richard Wolf would not be on the air here. And because he's challenging everything that's being done in the corporate world. So in order for us to have that edge, we turn to you as our sponsors, the listeners, the people who are out there occupying the streets, who are out there occupying the state capitals. Well, Richard Wolf is telling you to occupy the economy. It's time for us to take control. It's time for us to end the criminal behavior in our economic system from the very top to the very bottom. It's time to put an end to it. 212-209-2950. Those of you who have the resources, make a larger pledge. Make a inspirational pledge to this radio station. And actually, we need volunteers, clearly. If there's someone in the station who can head back to the pledge room and help us answer phones, please do that. We are getting a nice flurry of calls, and we don't want to miss that investment. So remember to call back if someone didn't pick up your call. Call again at 212-209-2950. One of the wonderful ways you can support the radio station is to come down and answer phones. So if you didn't get through, come down to 120 Wall Street, make your pledge in person, and then answer phones for a couple of hours. 212-209-2950. Thank you for that call. And remember, it's so important to support this radio station. Your call liberates us from being controlled by the corporate media. Your call liberates us from being controlled by the politicians and the status quo. It's your support that makes it possible for this space to open up for Professor Richard Wolf. And so we are very grateful for those calls, but we want you to keep them coming along. 212-209-2950. At the $25 level, you can become a member. At the $35 level, we'll thank you with a gift, a CD. At the $50 level, we thank you with a book, Occupy the Economy. And if you want the package, that's an $80 pledge. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, electronic funds transfer. Ask for an invoice. Keep those calls coming in as I return the controls back to Professor Richard Wolf.
Thank you again for listening, and thank you for your contributions and your willingness to support a station and a program that you will get again a week from today. Thanks again. Richard Wolf, Economic Update, WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York.
Listeners and supporters, I'm Kathy Davis, the Public Affairs Director for WBAI Radio, with an audio note. We are working hard at completing your pledges and sending out your premium gifts. We remind you that in order to facilitate this process, we are now adding the shipping and handling costs to each pledge. We trust and hope that you will understand and support our need to cover these costs in order to facilitate a more efficient and successful process of fulfillment. All of us thank you for your continued support of WBAI Radio, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
WBAI will soon be holding elections. All listener members and staff are entitled to vote for the local station board. We are hiring a local election supervisor to oversee the process. We need an impartial, hardworking, detailed-oriented person with both computer and people skills. This position will report to the National Election Supervisor appointed by the Pacifica Foundation. More information, including how to apply, is on the WBAI website at WBAI.org.
Give us your 140 characters and we'll give you ours. Follow WBAI on Twitter, twitter.com/WBAI_radio. What's trending? Iowa caucuses? Kodak bankrupt? Space planes spying on China? What have you got to tell us? And by the way, here's what's on the air right now. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/WBAI_radio.
You are tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It's 1 o'clock, and coming up next is Radio for Aaron. We'll be on till 3 o'clock today, so you want to stay tuned.
Our hard-fought sovereignty has been taken away, while foreign bureaucrats look over us by night and day. Are the Irish people going to accept this and lie down? That's not in our culture, as our fathers have shown.
I'll sing you a song for all us up in the tall. I'm proud to be Irish and European at all. I'm not into them cafe bears or fancy old notions. That's not me culture, oh where in Gobera.
Oh culture, oh don't go away. It's the crowd in the doll that has you this way. Come out ye young rebels and let it be told that the 32 counties will never be sold.
You had every young person working all round the clock. Now the bank owns them all, from Biddy to Jack. Oh, what can we do to get out of this mess? Oh, Larkin and Conley, we could do which you know.
Oh, culture, oh, don't go away. It's the crowd in the doll that has you this way. Come out, ye young rebels, and let it be told that the 32 counties will never be sold.
Of the farmer is just nearly gone. Oh, the land that has kept us forever so long. I remember the days of bringing churns on the cart and going with me granddad to sell at the mart.
Oh, culture, oh, don't go away. It's the crowd in the doll that has you this way. Come out, ye young rebels, and let it be told that the 32 counties will never be sold.
In late August and early September of this year, the Bay Area and other cities in the country were visited by representatives of the opposing forces struggling in Northern Ireland. Bernadette Devlin, 22-year-old member of the British House of Commons and a strong supporter of the Catholic position in the Irish struggle, was the first to appear here as a part of a fundraising campaign that took her around the country. On August 28th, she spoke to a packed house of university students in the new campus auditorium. Later that evening, she addressed another crowd of supporters at Longshoremen's Hall in San Francisco. Those two programs are the first part of this collection of tape. On September 11th, the Reverend Ian Paisley, a leader of Northern Ireland's Protestants, was the principal speaker at a fundraising program held in San Francisco's First Baptist Church. That event will be the latter portion of this broadcast. We begin now with Bernadette Devlin, speaking on the University of California campus, Thursday afternoon, August 28th.
Well, since I've arrived in America, I've started off all these meetings by saying good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to say it today. Well, the reason I've come here is to tell you something that you probably know nothing about if you've been depending on the American press for information on the Northern Ireland crisis. Since I've come to America, I've heard lots of stories which I haven't, in fact, recognized to be the struggle that I came from. And that was that there were a load of Catholic and Protestant heathens in Northern Ireland who couldn't live together, and that all good people with any kind of perspective of the 20th century should stay as far away from the struggle as possible and let us sort it out in the middle of medieval Ireland. Some of you probably find it hard to understand me speaking, but I've got to talk quickly because I haven't got very much time and I want to get it all in. But we who have been struggling in Northern Ireland, we have been termed by every newspaper in the world as hooligans or sectarian rioters. We prefer to call ourselves an insurrection. An insurrection we are, and we created out of a situation which, as usual, was provided for us by the police, a counter-situation which they can now do nothing about. In the slum Catholic area of Derry, in the slum areas of Belfast and in other towns in Northern Ireland, we have hoisted the barricades. They were put up, first of all, as a matter of defence to keep out the hordes of armed and uniformed thugs who, calling themselves the guardians of the peace, stormed into slum areas, in their own words, to settle them once and for all. So we threw up the barricades and we fought them with all we had to fight them, which was stones and petrol bombs. We fought these gallant, well-disciplined men who had guns, machine guns and tear gas, which they used and which some of you are probably very familiar with, for they used non-stop for 40 hours on a built-up area. Everybody now calls it a built-up area, a residential area. Before the 12th of August, they called it a slum and they preferred not to think that it existed. So I'd like to tell you briefly what our struggle is in Northern Ireland, what the truth of the matter is, what it is we've been doing, why it is we've been doing it, and what we want to achieve as the ultimate goal. For 50 years in Northern Ireland, since the partition of the country, the Northern Ireland government has been the Unionist Party of Northern Ireland. 50 years ago, they announced they would set up a Protestant state for a Protestant people. They never had any intention of setting up a Protestant state for a Protestant people, but they were very clever people. They had looked at the division of Northern Ireland and they had seen that if you counted heads on a religious basis, there were more Protestants than there were Catholics. And therefore, the way to keep yourself in power was first of all to state you were on the side of the majority, and then by any means you could, to keep people voting on that one line which made them the majority, and you would always be returned to power. So they set about 50 years ago that they could ensure that practically every Protestant in the country would support the Unionist Party and the Catholics would be left to vote for whatever opposition parties they could manage. This unfortunately resulted in the situation where they had set up what was tantamount to a Protestant party, that the opposition party thought the only way to beat them was to set up a Catholic party. And the people who had fought in 1916, the people who had died in 1916, for the social revolution of Ireland, for the creation of a 32-county republic in which all men would be equal, the things that these men fought and died for were completely forgotten by the people who were trying to beat the British out of the country, and they settled for you can be the Protestants and we'll be the Catholics. The ordinary people of Northern Ireland were never consulted about this gentleman's agreement, but it was allowed to continue for 50 years. The means the government used for keeping themselves in power was to actively discriminate against the Catholics, to keep them out of all jobs that the government controlled. Meanwhile, they exploited the Protestant working class on the basis very similar to the situation in this country between the black and the poor white. The Protestant working class in Northern Ireland have literally nothing, but nothing is at least better than less than nothing, which they believe the Catholic working class to have. But our problems in Northern Ireland are not problems of religion. They're not even revolutionary problems. They're problems of a medieval government using the most malicious power it can to keep itself in power and keep the people of Northern Ireland in poverty, because it's the only way in a very small country they can keep themselves rich. So when the civil rights movement in Northern Ireland started, it made very simple demands, demands which were in themselves by no means revolutionary, but which it has proved that it takes a revolution in Ireland to bring them about. The first demand we made was that any man had a right in a so-called democratic country to vote, and that that vote should be equal to anybody else's vote. And we all had votes at the government elections, we could all vote for the parliament, but our two main parties, the Unionist Party and the Nationalist Party, by gentlemen's agreement had drawn up the electoral boundaries, counting Catholic and Protestant heads, and worked out safe constituencies so that over the period of 50 years in Northern Ireland, you can in fact predict 10 years in advance what politician will sit in what constituency.
And good afternoon and welcome to Radio Free Erin. Anyone listening in right now would say, hey, that voice sounds familiar. That must be Bernadette Devlin from about 2 weeks ago. It all sounds very familiar, particularly to the people living through the glorious 12th during the past week with the rioting and everything else that was going on. But that was Bernadette Devlin Mikalski, or at that time she was Bernadette Devlin from 1971 out in California. And what does that mean when we're playing that? That means we're doing something that is so fun up here at WBAI. A lot of people like to go to the Hamptons. Some people want to go to the ball game, go to Coney Island. But we here at BAI says if it's summer, we have to fundraise. And boy, do we love doing that up here at WBAI. You know, they were talking about they don't get much information off the prisoners down in Guantanamo Bay. I would suggest bring them up to BAI and let them fundraise here in the summer. After a couple of fundraising drives here, they will give us all the information that they want. So for the next 2 hours, we'll be playing clips of Bernadette's speeches on a 3-CD set, and we'll be trying fundraising here. We know it's kind of tough. Beautiful day out there. And, you know, we've been doing this a long time, and, you don't want to be the dark cloud out there, but I've been reading a lot of things on the internet and from Mitch Cohen. There are a lot of problems at WBAI, and I don't like pitching off that because I haven't done that in the last 30 years. I usually try to be positive, but things are coming to a head here at Pacifica and at the station. Just one of the main problems that we have here at the station is before the year starts, we have a rent here on 120 Wall Street, which is $400,000, and a rent at the Empire State Building for the transmitter of $500,000. So before one person gets paid in this place, we need $900,000. We are now currently at WBAI fundraising one out of every 3 days. This is unsustainable. We are now becoming just fundraising here at BAI. We, Radio Free Erin, is finding it tougher and tougher to build up an audience. And I could almost tell you now, or Eliza, without anyone sending in a dime yet, she could almost read off the names of the people that are supporting our show. And I'll tell you how bad it's getting. Timmy Miles, who just retired from the Long Island Railroad, he said that we're raising so much at WBAI and so often that he's thinking about coming out of retirement and taking a second job in order to support WBAI. Now, I have never heard that in the 30 years I've been here at the station. I've heard that we have to have cutbacks here at BAI. It is getting bad when you hear the listeners saying, in order to support the station, they might come out of retirement and they might take a second job in order to support the station. So I'm hoping that the smarter heads of Pacifica and WBAI get together and come up another way of financing this station, because we do need another way of doing it, because this is unsustainable. One out of every 3 days. I mean, the fundraiser during the summit used to be a mini fundraiser, emergency fundraiser from Tuesday to Thursday. It was a little boost to get you to the fall. Now it's an actual fundraiser. I mean, we will not be on now till August, which, it's just to follow continuity of things that are going on, or whatever show you're doing. I don't care if it's a health show or whatever political topic you're doing, to build an audience and to cover the political events of whichever show you're doing. It's so difficult to do between the fundraising and the gaps in time before you get back on the air. With that, I have to say you still have to support the station until they get the fundraising thing right here. I don't know how they're going to do it, how they're going to sustain it, but we're going to give it a shot here at Radio Free Erin at 212-209-2950 with these CDs of Bernadette. If anybody's been listening here at Radio Free Erin, you know Bernadette's been consistent here at the station since the early 80s when we first came on here at WBAI. And it's great to see that Pacifica has this in the archives. And you can listen back and you can see how clear-headed a 22-year-old member of the British Parliament coming out to California. She probably came through New York first and stayed with George Harrison out in Brooklyn, made speeches here. But they had the foresight in California to record them.
Actually, this is a really historic document, because Bernadotte is literally weeks from the Battle of the Bogside. You heard her allude to it. When people of Bogside and Derry fought to keep the Royal Ulster Constabulary out, we're talking about rocks, and they call them petro bombs, we call them Molotov cocktails. Bernadotte was right there on the front, breaking up. She talks about how she broke up stones. She said, I wasn't a very good thrower, so I broke up stones for other people to throw. And Eamon McCann tells the story that she was saying, oh, the CS gas isn't too bad once you get used to it. So she is literally weeks from there. She's flown out of Derry in an Irish Air Force jet. Not a change of clothes, not a passport, lands in America. And a few weeks later, she's making this speech that you can hear in San Francisco, in the Bay Area. And this is a remarkable historical document that's yours for a gift of $100, 212-209-2950. It's engrossing, I think. I'm a little prejudiced, and it's certainly informative history. This is something, you know, people write about it, but this is Bernadotte in her own words, straight from the Battle of the Bogside. So we have $100 from one person, very generous. We need a few more calls, 212-209-2950. So we can offer you the 3-CD set.
And also during the show, being that we won't be on until August now, we're going to have on Kate Trainer from Republican Sinn Féin, who'll be talking about the plight of Martin Corey, a familiar name here on WBAI. Lo and behold, the court system that we're always complaining about in the six counties said Martin Corey can leave. And some minister out of London said, no, we're going to keep you back in. This does not bode well for Marion Price or Jerry McGill, that the courts mean absolutely nothing, as we've always said in the six counties, whether it comes in your favor or not, that British ministers will dictate who gets in and who gets out of jail. And also we're going to have on Ed Maloney at some stage, and he's going to be talking about the tapes that he is gallantly fighting to stop Boston College from handing over to the police service of Northern Ireland, who were out in their full glory during the week with water cannons, plastic bullets, and also, irony of all ironies, a day or two ago, the Lord Mayor of Londonderry, who's a Sinn Féin man, had his house raided by the PSNI. And a lot of you will remember Londonderry is the cultural capital of the United Kingdom. And you know what? Sinn Féin is outraged. They're not outraged when everybody else's houses are being raided throughout Derry and Belfast and Tyrone. But lo and behold, the mayor of Londonderry, the Kingdom's cultural capital of the United Kingdom, his house is raided, and now all of a sudden there's something not right with the police.
Well, I guess the handshake with the Queen wasn't good enough to get their house from not being raided. So
you know what, Eliza, funny you should bring that up. All right, on the 12th, you know, we talk about the 12th parades, and I wanted to read out some of the speeches that were made about Martin McGuinness, who's a member of the British government in Ireland and also over in Britain. What some of the people thought of his handshake with the Queen. Now, this is from the Scottish Grandmaster Ian Wilson, admitted that bile was in his throat when he saw a history-making gesture at the Lilac Theatre in Belfast last month. Yet, the sight of the Queen greeting the man who was once the commander in the terror gang who murdered her cousin, Lewis Mountbatten, was a humiliating surrender by Sinn Féin, he argued. It was a public admission that all the years of murder and mayhem had been for nothing. That handshake was acknowledgement by McGuinness of the Queen's jurisdiction in Northern Ireland. Despite all he and his murderous associates had thrown at you, Northern Ireland remains as much as part of the United Kingdom today as when the Queen acceded to the throne in 1952, he told the parade. Now, that would have been more of a political front, but you have to realize the orange parades that went on this week with the rioting and the water cannons this week, it is a religious affair, and it is all about Protestantism. I'm going to read a little clip about, this is the main gist of the speeches that are given that day on the Glorious 12th on Thursday. Speaking of the 12th demonstration in Resharkin, Brother McLean made his remarks at the 12th demonstration of the institution. He found that it was sad that it was a case that, to many, that some in the Protestant community had taken an interest in their past to praise God for past deliverances. He told the audience he was talking about Protestant children who weren't quite well up on their history. And he said, quote, "We have a biblical mandate and also a solemn responsibility to remind our past and to give thanks to Almighty God for that He has done for us, and this is why we are here today. In 1688, our nation was threatened by sinister forces, i.e. the Catholics, which would have reversed the Protestant Reformation and denied the people their hard-won civil and religious liberties. The clock would have been turned back, and the light of the Bible would have been replaced by the darkness of Romanism. But God is sovereign, and in an answer to the prayers of the people, He raised up a deliverer, William, Prince of Orange, who came to our shores in November of 1688 with the famous motto, 'The liberties of England and the Protestant religion I will maintain.' And over the next months, William secured our civil and religious liberties and established the Protestant monarchy we have today. We must make sure that we continue to remember 1690. Indeed, we have more reason than ever to treasure and defend the constitutional arrangements established during the glorious revolution, for it would seem that they're under renewed threat. Last October, Prime Minister David Cameron announced that he proposed to make some changes to the law of succession to the throne. One of these is that the monarch would be allowed to marry a Roman Catholic. This raises at least one important question. The Roman Catholic Church requires that parents promise to bring their children up Roman Catholics. So where would this leave the succession? I fear if this change is made, it's only a matter of time before our Protestant monarchy is in real danger. And let us be under no illusion. There are those in our nation who, for whatever reason, are very keen to destroy the Protestant basis of our monarchy and to sacrifice it on the altar of equality and political expediency. I have made it very clear from this platform today that as an institution, our loyalty is to the Protestant monarchy. This is reflected in our resolution every year that there must be no change to the Bill of Rights of 1688 and the Act of Settlement of 1701. Our Protestant monarchy has worked well for 300 years. It has brought stability and civil religious liberty to our nation, and we tamper with it at our own peril."
This is 2012.
This was on Thursday. The speech was given. And as you can see, as they commend Martin McGuinness for meeting with the Queen, because he recognizes her as the sovereign head of that part of Ireland. She is his paymaster. So this is how they treat, with contempt, Martin McGuinness and members of Sinn Féin, as the contempt that they give Martin McGuinness. And could you imagine Bloomberg's house being raided in the Upper East Side by the NYPD? And then complaining, oh, what's going on here? But here is Sinn Féin. They have no control over anything. A Republican is ordered released by the six-county court system. Somebody in London says, no, he's not getting out. They have their Lord Mayor in Londonderry, the cultural capital of the United Kingdom. They raid his house. They took his computers. They took his daughter's cell phone. This is the power that they have. The only power they have is they get their weekly check, keep your mouth shut, open up your house in Donegal, and be happy with what you got. Now, on to fundraising here at WBAI and the 3-CD set for $100 of Bernadette Devlin speaking in 1971. Call up and get 212-209-2950. Please give us a hand. We have a new program director here, and I know he's going to be looking at the numbers. We need to show that we do have support.
Okay, John, we had a little bit of a flurry, not much of one earlier on, but we need to get everyone over to the phone right now. We're only on till 3 o'clock today. We're going to be playing more of this 3D sit, but let's get the usual, the regulars in quickly, and then later on we'll have to be begging to those who've never called before. So it's 212-209-2950, $100 pledge. You can do that, charge it. You can have build monthly segments. You just need to call that number and set it up. Our regular has called in, Martin Galvin. Thank you very much. We can start thanking them before they call these days. So that's going to be for this 3D set.
Why don't we start with the fall one? Here it is for Martin Galvin's, one of the first ones out. Marianne One, once again, sending in. We can get up with the list. Mike Costello, yes. The Irish Freedom Committee.
And then there's Maggie Trainor always.
Maggie Trainor will be sending in. I mean, oh.
So 212. Oh, my father just called in. What thank my father. 212-209-2950. This is a historic document. You're not going to get this anyplace else. I mean, it's incredible. The information you're going to get from here, the history lesson of what is going on in Ireland continuing today. So that's 212-209-2950, $100 pledge, 3D set. You're not going to find this on the QVC shopping network. You're not going to hear this on NYC. You're not going to see this on PBS. You're only going to be able to get this here through Radio Free Erin, and you're going to only be able to get it till 3 o'clock today. So what you're also doing is supporting the show. We've got five people on the line right now. We have people back there answering the phone calls. If it's not picked up, please keep on calling throughout the show, because every phone that rings during from now till 3 o'clock is registering support for Radio for Erin. We come on every Saturday, 1 o'clock. We don't get paid. We take everything out of our own pocket to get here for the music that I play, for the phone calls. So we're sacrificing a lot, but we know this is important to everyone out there. We get a great response. John went up to the thing up in David Rothenberg's house up there.
The Fortune Society.
And you know what? 2 weeks ago.
You could essentially say the castle is David Rothenberg's house.
Yeah. And John, people that had been locked up were walking to John saying that over the years on Saturdays they listened to Radio for Erin. So we do have, you know, our regular listeners, but we do have a big community out there of people that listen every week and enjoy our show. And we're now asking you to go to the phones right now and show their appreciation for what we do every week. 212-209-2950. Please call now. If you don't get picked up, keep on calling.
You know, we now have a lot of people who listen online, including in Ireland. And now they've arranged it so you can give online. www.give2wbai.org, and you can designate your contribution for this program, for Radio Free Erin. So if you are listening on the internet, please consider that. It would make a big difference. The rest of you, 212-209-2950. Some of you know that number as well as I do, but it really counts. We have a little bit of a good start. I think there's some tally lag. 212-209-2950. Then we are shortly going to go to Ed Maloney to get the update on the Boston College case. But the other thing is, the more that we can get you to contribute, the more we can just play Bernadette and you can listen. And that's much more pleasant than listening to us ask for money. But there we are, 212-209-2950. We do have to do it because that's the only thing that keeps us on the air. You know, and we will be talking about the case of Martin Corey. He doesn't get a lot of airtime here. 212-209-2950. Marion Price doesn't get a lot of airtime. 212, but they depend on us, and that we depend on you. 212-209-2950.
And if you're calling, we want to thank everyone in the back that's taking phone calls, particularly Seth, the Kabbalah cabbie, who's back there, fresh off his 17% raise on the cabbie fare that has just went up. Although I hope to do a show next month on it because there's going to be lawsuits coming. He works for the B'nai B'rith of Radio Free Erin. So ask for Seth when you do call in at 212-209-2950. And also cross-cultural things that we do on WBAI and Radio Free
Erin. John, I just want to say we're getting an incredible response right now. We've got eight people online. I'm not even sure there's enough people back there to answer the phone call. So keep on calling. This will be available till 3 o'clock today. We'll be playing more from this. But I want to announce one of our listeners or one of our co-producers out there sent me this event that's taking place tonight, Saturday, July 14th. It's going to be from 7 to 11, and it's going to be out in Bellport Village, which I had to look on the map. I think it's out there out near Patch Hog or something like that out on the island. It's the Shinnecock Shamrock event where they're going to be bringing together Irish music, which is going to be Mary Courtney and Morning Star and the other band Bangers and Mash, along with the Old Bridge Singers Drum Group. So it's bringing together the Asian, Irish and Native American people out there on Bell Park Village tonight. There is a tickets they have to purchase at the door, but it's celebrating the coming together of the two different cultural groups. It's being presented by the Shinnecock Shiwangnaka Society. So once again tonight, Saturday, July 14th from 7 to 11. It's at 14 North Howell Point Road, Bellport Village, and it's located off South Country Road. So actually, there's a number here for information, 631-827-9488. So if you want to go out tonight and hear some music, Mary Courtney, as well as some Native American drumming, that's out there in Long Island. So once again, 212-209-2950. We've dropped off a little bit, but keep on calling. This is a great response, and it's very encouraging for what we're doing here at Radio for Erin. 212-209-2950. It's 1:30. This is Radio for Erin. We'll be on till 3 o'clock today. We're sending out as a thank you gift is a 3-CD set of Bernadette Devlin, because this is when she was 22 years old. She was not married yet. And it's a $100 pledge. You can put it on your credit card. You can be billed. You can be put on monthly payments, anything. Just call that number, 212-209-2950. And set up the payment plan.
What we're going to do is play a little sound clip from the CD, and when we come out of that, we're going to speak about Ed Maloney and find out what's going on with the tapes up at Boston College.
Pointing the heads of the people who live there. We demanded the electoral boundary should be changed, and if we were going to live under a democratic system, we should have democratic elections. At local government elections, which are much more important because they control the important things in people's lives, who gets the work and who gets the houses. On these local government elections, only the people who already had the houses were allowed to vote. This meant that people who didn't own their own homes, people who weren't householders, had no representation on the council, and therefore the council did not consider itself under any obligation to look after people who didn't vote for them. But the situation was even more malicious than this, because when a person applied, as most people in Northern Ireland have to apply, for a house from the local council, because very few people in the country can afford to buy their own houses or even rent their own houses from private owners, when people applied to the council for a house, he did not ask them, how long have you been without a house? How many kids have you? What size of house do you need? He asked you what your religion was. This would interpret then what way you would vote. And so he got out his little map, and he looked not to where he could build houses, but where that vote could be put so that it would not upset the balance of power. This resulted in areas like Dungannon, which is a small rural town, not having built houses for at least 5 years, while it had a waiting list of some 500 families. And they were prepared to state quite openly that they couldn't, despite the fact that they had the capital and the land, they could not build houses for these 500 families because they were the wrong religion to put on that plot of land. This was a simple kind of thing which we were demanding the government should change. We were also demanding that every man in the country had a right to work. The system of employment or unemployment in Northern Ireland is a delightful system of how to make people work for nothing and think you're giving them the earth. The people of Northern Ireland suffer from very high unemployment. They suffer from it naturally because, in the first place, the country is divided and both sides of it are run by Tory governments. Nevertheless, within the confines of Northern Ireland, it is possible to make some sort of attempt to fully employ the people. To do this, it would, of course, necessitate the breaking down of the system and the ruination of the government. A point which we considered very minor when you thought of the number of people who were...
That is Bernadette Devlin, then Bernadette Devlin, talking about Northern Ireland, the poverty, the government. Sounds very reminiscent. 212-209-2950. We got a very good flurry of calls before. We need you to do more. We're about to go to Ed Maloney and get the real update on the Boston College tapes, where they're trying to force the oral history of the Troubles to be turned over to the Police Service of Northern Ireland, but we can't do that until you call 212-209-2950. And I know you're really going to want this 3-CD set. This is Bernadette, weeks away from the Battle of Bogside, and talking about that, talking about the whole situation in Northern Ireland, of how the Catholic and Protestant working class are divided and kept divided. It's 212-209-2950. But how you can't get a house unless you're the right religion. 212-209-2950. This is a first-hand account. This is, as Liza said, you're not going to find this in your library. You're not going to find this anywhere else. But right now, from Radio Free Erin, and 3 CDs for $100. It's an amazing offer, and it's yours for $100. 212-209-2950. We need your help. We need it now. 212-209-2950. And we had a very good play before. We hope you'll keep it up. 212-209-2950. We need you to call. This is what keeps this radio station on the air, is your contributions. We don't get the corporate sponsors. You know, we the major corporations are not interested in WBA, and they're not in BAI, and they're not interested in Radio Free Erin. This content would sicken the establishment corporations, but we offer it to you for a gift of $100, 212-209-2950.
Yeah, and we keep giving you, like, you'll be hearing about the orange marches and everything, and you know, a couple of weeks ago or last week, we played some of the music that the Nationalists have to listen to as they were going by, and people came up to me and they said they couldn't believe that type of singing of songs and the sectarian hatred. And I said, this is what they go through. And even me reading just part of that speech, this is all about Protestantism and about keeping the throne Protestant. You can't marry Catholics and all this. I frig the throne, frig all of them. I mean, but to them, it's very dear. And believe you me, having Martin McGuinness shake the Queen and bow and shake her paw when she was over in Belfast, that was very symbolic, particularly for the Unionist people, because to them, they saw it as him recognizing her sovereignty over that part of Ireland. And the first thing he did was fly over to London and complain about his offices in Westminster. And if you want to hear that, and more of that stuff, you have to call at 212-209-2950. Get the 3-CD set. It's $100. We know it's tough out there. And as I stated at the beginning, it's getting tougher and tougher to raise money here at WBAI.
Well, John, not only do we have family members calling, we have fellow producers calling. We want to thank Janet out there. I think she is calling in for our show. So, but we need other people besides our family and fellow producers. We need people that have been listening for a while and never have called in. This is a great time to call in and get this historic documents that are going to Bernadette's going over the history of what has been going on between in Northern Ireland and the real story of what's going on there. So it's a fascinating listen to. And if you have kids that are too young to know anything about Bernadette Devlin, this is a great way to introduce them to her. So 212-209-2950. That's a $100 pledge for a 3D CD set. If you don't have that kind of money and you just want to support Radio Free Erin, you can call in for $25 and you'll become a member of WBAI. So please go over to your phone right now. Any kind of support. If you have quite a bit of money, I don't know how many people listening to BAI actually do. It's a tax deduction. And instead of giving the money to Obama that he can now bomb Afghanistan or Pakistan or wherever we're bombing these days, you're supporting Radio Free Erin and WBAI. That's 212-209-2950. Please, we had a huge, a lot of people going over earlier in the show. It's a little slow now. We have two people on the line. Please call now. If you called before and there was a busy signal, you can go over now and you should be able to get through. 212-209-2950. We are on till 3 o'clock today. We have people lined up. We need to move the show along. So please, the more people call now, the more we'll be able to play more of Bernadette Devlin's speech.
Now listen, we all try to strive to be like Willard Romney, part of the 1%. BAI would love to open up a Swiss bank account. put what little money we have into the Cayman Islands, open up all these offshore things. That ain't happening. We are not Mitt Romney here at WBAI. We might be on Wall Street, but whatever money comes into this station, believe you me, it is not being offshored anywhere. It's going into paying friggin' rent for this place at 120 Wall Street of almost $400,000. It's going to pay for the transmitter at the Empire State Building of $500,000. So just keep that in mind, $900,000, which it's going to have to end. We cannot sustain these type of high prices. A lot of the other Pacifica stations around the country have their own buildings, which, if you can imagine, we've been here 10 years paying near $400,000. You know, how many buildings could we have bought around here? Of course, we didn't have it all together, and we're nickel and diming it from fundraiser to fundraiser. But a new strategy has to happen. But until that new strategy happens, we here at Radio Free Erin have to do fundraising, and that is at 212-209-2950. And I have to tell you, with this Bernadette speech, you know, it is so fresh from that time frame about people not being allowed to vote, not being able to get property, and about what's going on in the land. She really captures the moment at that time. And Bernadette is still in the forefront. She's still working for prisoners' rights, particularly what's going on with Marion Price and Martin Corey and Jerry McGill. She's still out there fighting the good fight, but we're just going back to give you a little bit of a history, particularly for our younger listeners that are tuning in and wanting to know, who was this Bernadette Devlin? Well, with this three CD set, you're going to find out who she was and where she came from. And we'd like you to send in. What we want to do is we're going to play another little clip of that. When we come back, the number still will be 212-209-2950.
Was in fact out of work, and that the individual members of Northern Ireland's government are 90% of the shareholders in all the foreign industry in Northern Ireland, one begins to see the problem. By keeping the mass of the people unemployed, they had a cheap pool of labour. People in Northern Ireland consider a good wage to be $30 a week. That means that you're earning more than you would get if you weren't working at all, because we have a welfare system. By courtesy of the British government, because we're all British citizens, we have this welfare state that means if you don't work, you get a minimum allowance on which you can survive from the state. The Northern Ireland government has as its minimum wage a weekly wage which is only about two-thirds of the minimum wage for unemployed persons. Most people in Northern Ireland work for a minimum wage, which means naturally that you are richer by sitting at home doing nothing than you are by slogging your guts out for 45 hours a week. Therefore, there are those people who quite rightly sit at home, and the government doesn't like them. But we demanded that the government settle the situation, that it start employing people in Northern Ireland as they could be employed. The system of employment was such that you went, our Minister of Commerce comes to America, and he tells all the good Americans that they should build their factories in Northern Ireland. They build their factories in Northern Ireland for two reasons. A, you can get people to work for literally nothing in Northern Ireland. B, by courtesy of the British government again, we get £120 million in sterling each year to alleviate our hardship. The government uses this for tax concessions for foreign industries on a 3, 5, and 7 year plan. This means that our good foreign friends come into the country, they build a factory, the workers work for nothing, the factory owner gets the tax concession, the government are all shareholders, they get the profits, and when the tax concession runs out, so do our foreign friends, leaving us with an empty factory. So we advocated, which was quite a reasonable suggestion, that since these people had been invited into the country, that they be allowed to leave, but that what they brought with them should be left behind, and that the people should work in them. Again, this seemed to us a very reasonable suggestion. It also seemed to the people who find themselves every 3 years out of work or being forced to learn yet another trade, which they were just managing to learn before. The government said that it was anarchistic, revolutionary, republican, and contrary to the laws of decency. And And this was the basic line of our demands. We simply wanted simple justice for the people of Northern Ireland. The government hadn't any ideas about how to give it to the people, and we had. The government was not prepared to listen to our ideas. What it was prepared to do, however, was insist that we were really a load of Catholic bigots who simply wanted to stomp all over the Protestant people of Northern Ireland. And of course, because the Protestant working class were in such a bad condition, they were quite reasonable to the government's attitude that if anything was going to be shared out equally, that they at least knew the government for what it was worth. If anything was going to be shared out equally, it was all the people at the bottom who were going to have to readjust themselves and sort things out. And the government was going to lose nothing. Therefore, naturally, the Protestant working class were going to suffer a serious lowering in standards, whereas the rise in standards for the Catholic working class would have been minimal. This demand did not satisfy us. Therefore, our demand was that the government must go. The only way the police were prepared to, the government were prepared to treat that demand was to use the so-called civil authorities as a private army of the unionist government. Therefore, our 2,000 gallant Royal Ulster Constabulary men and our 8,000 armed and uniformed thugs known as the B Specials, who do not even have to do an eyesight test to get into the organisation, but simply by virtue of the fact they volunteer, that is to say, as long as you volunteer and you're a loyal supporter of the government, you are issued with a uniform that is either two sizes too big, two sizes too small, or has no buttons, but you also get a revolver. Between six of you, you get a Bren gun, and between 20 of you, you get a machine gun. The government maintains that the reserve police are used for traffic duty to release other police for crowd control. But the situation at the moment is that they used as much oppressive force against us as they could. They had everything, we had nothing but determination. We beat them out of our area, and we intend to keep them out of our area until the Northern Ireland government falls. And when it falls, we will start to finish the work that was started in 1916 and forgotten very conveniently by the people who now call themselves the Republic of Ireland, and we will establish in our country the 32-county republic based on the ideals of James Connolly once and for all. For that, we need your help.
And you listen to Radio Free Erin, WBAI, and we just heard the very sad news that Pete Foley, activist in the Transport Workers Union, good friend of BAI, good friend of the show, died on June 9th. And Geraldine Cox, thank you so much for giving us that word, though it's very, very sad news. I mean,
you know what? Pete will be missed up here because he was on many shows about the transit workers, and anytime there was a strike or we needed to have a contact to get someone on, Pete was always a go-to guy. He was an Irish Northern aide. He was always helping out with the families of political prisoners, and I have to say he will be a big loss not only to Geraldine but to the transit workers and to WBAI and to Irish political prisoners.
Yeah, I met Pete again, I think in just maybe October, when the Transport Workers Union had a big rally because their contract was expiring, and we chatted. We had a very nice chat, and I had no idea that he was sick, so it's very, very sad. He was in my class at the Irish Arts Center many, many, many years ago.
Well, so, John, actually in his obit it says that he was one of the first transit workers to go down and work on the pile after 9/11 and worked for a few weeks down there at the pile. So who knows? But, yeah, he was up here doing some shows. I remember him well. So it's sad to hear about the passing of Pete Foley.
So, Geraldine, thank you for getting – I mean – horrible news, but thank you for getting it to us. I wish I'd known earlier. But, unfortunately, life goes on, and we are still here, and we are still... The good news is that we're still listening to Bernadette Devlin, way back from 71, 212-209-2950.
We're going to be playing a couple more clips leading into the 2 o'clock hour. When we come out of the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to speak with Kate Trainer with an unbelievable, bizarre event that happened in the six counties there last week. Martin Corey won his appeal that he was being held illegally in the six counties. and the judge in Belfast ordered his release. Before he could get out of the prison, who is the exact person? What's his title? It is some British minister.
It is the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland.
Appointed by Cameron, I would dare say.
Yes, yes.
And he says, no, 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 no. He cannot be released. We have secret information that we cannot give to his lawyers, that we cannot give to him or anybody else. We're keeping him in prison. So what we're going to have on is Kate Trainer from Republican Sinn Féin, who's a friend of Martin Corey and the family. Give us the latest update. And I have to say, and I know a lot of people are talking about it. You see it on, this does not bode well for Marion Price or Jeremy Gill. Jeremy Gill's time is coming up now in February, that his two-year sentence under the Good Friday Agreement ends. I mean, you could see this British minister saying, listen, I don't care if it ends. We're keeping him in. This is unbelievable. When people were interned during the 70s, they did get out eventually. This now is becoming a nightmare. And that's why we need to be on the air here at 212-209-2950 to cover these topics. Get these CDs by Bernadette, because you're going to see not that much has changed. The only thing has changed is maybe the numbers. There's not quite as many prisoners as there were before, but it's still the same system.
John, I mean, I've been doing radio for Aaron for, I think, almost 20 years, maybe even more, which is scary. But
you're going to get your watch. Don't worry about it.
And we're talking about the same people. It 20 years ago, the same names were coming up as they are today. So even though they call this peace process, the same thing is happening behind the scenes, and it's just not getting on to the media, that people aren't seeing the troubles on the TV. But it's still going on, and only on Radio Free Aaron are you going to hear about what's going on in the North right now. We have no one calling. We've had a really good response. We've over $1,200, but we really need to knock it out of the ballpark. It's the first marathon with the new program director, and he's gonna see the numbers about how much Radio Free Aaron has raised. And so no one's calling right now. Let's get a few people over to the phone before we go over to Kate Trainer, 212-209-2950. Kate's been on about two times. She's really a young, great activist in the North, and we're so lucky to be able to have tracked her down and get her to come on Radio for Aaron to give us a younger perspective of what's going on still in the North. I mean, we hear Bernadette talking about it in the 70s, 1971, and Kate Trainer is a young activist in the North that is talking about still the troubles that are going on in the North. Let's get a few people over to the phone. I think we have one person calling right now. Thank you. 212-209-2950. $100 pledge is the 3-CD Bernadette Devlin speeches that you can get as a thank you gift. But what you're really doing is supporting Radio for Aaron, that we're able to come to the air 1 o'clock every Saturday and tell you without commercial interruptions what is going on in the North. And the phone calls we make over there, they're paid for by us, by the, one of us pays for it. And the music I play, you know, I go out and purchase myself. No one is telling us who to call, what music to play. It's just sort of something that comes together every Saturday, and we hope that you appreciate it. And now you can show your appreciation by going to the phone and calling 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. You know, we don't just... We get the word out, but things actually happen. Like this week, talking about Martin Corey, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, in their national convention, passed a resolution demanding that Martin Corey be free. That wouldn't have happened without WBAI. 212-209-2950. We can make a difference. You can help us make a difference. 212-209-2950. We depend on you. The prisoners depend on us. 212-209-2950. And in return, you are offered this wonderful 3-CD set of Bernadette Devlin way back in 1971, talking about the situation, which is very, very reminiscent of what's happening today. 212-209-2950. And it only happens because you support the show. We're off to a very, very good start, and we appreciate it. We need a few more calls before we go over to Kate Trainer, the Release Martin Corey campaign, 212-209-2950.
And you're listening to Radio Free Aaron and our never-ending fundraising up here at WBAI. And one of our, you could say, local producers and contributors to Radio Free Erin, Liam Murphy, sent me an email that I'm looking at right now, and he's commenting on Lord O'Dowd. He's the editor of Everything Irish in America, because good forbid you can do anything that's Irish, it has to go through Lord O'Dowd. But he's written about Lord Martin McGuinness, which he will be knighted eventually, that he was in New York during the week, and they talked about the historic handshake. And Liam says, as intentionally provocative orange parades march through Catholic and Nationalist neighborhoods, Lord O'Dowd reports that Martin McGuinness has not only taken the soup, but he's swimming in it, with the result that peace will continue to fall slowly but surely in the land. And just that reference there of taking the soup, for you people that are not up on Irish history, that a term that comes from during the famine time or the Gorta More, about how they converted Catholics over to being Protestants if they took the soup at these soup kitchens in order to keep them alive. And that's what that taking the soup, McGuinness is swimming in it. But also Liam puts in this poem, and it's a famous poem in Irish history. It says, was it for this the wild geese spread the gray wing upon every tide, for this that all the blood was shed, for this Edward Fitzgerald died, and Robert Emmett and Wolfe Tone, and all that delirium of the brave, romantic Ireland's dead and gone. Well, Liam, I think you captured it on that one. And unfortunately, we're going to be talking about the unromantic Ireland, the rioting, the water cannons, and everything else that's going on this past week, celebrating the glorious 12th.
And we have some people to thank for their contributions. Someone pledged in honor of Marion Price. And, of course, you've been hearing about Marion Price here. So that's very, very welcome. Martin Galvin pledges and every show and brings us all the news on Jerry McGow. So thank you, Martin. Terrence Butler, that might be a familiar name.
Yep, long-time listener.
Bill Solomon, someone pledged in honor, in memory of Brian Moore. Mm. Mike O'Leary, James Duffy. We thank all of those people and everyone who's contributed, who's got us off to a very, very good start today.
Yeah, we're going to be on until 3 o'clock today, so another hour. And during that time, the money that is raised will be going towards the final amount that Radio Free Erin will be raising for this marathon. So it's important for people to call now. We have a really good sum right now. We're over $1,300. Let's go over $2,000. That would be an excellent showing for Radio Free Erin in the dog days of August. So we want to thank everybody that's called so far. Let's get a few more people to go over to the phones right now, 212-209-2950. Show your support for Radio Free Erin. That's the 3-CD set that we're playing right now. That's for a $100 pledge. If you want to pledge more, fine, $400, $500. If you don't have that kind of money, you just want to show support for Radio Free Erin, that's a $25 pledge. You'll become a member of the station. We accept all kinds of donations. So 212-209-2950. There's no one calling right now. We've got to get a few more people on the line before we go over to the north and talk to Kate Trainer. So let's get a few more people out over to the phone right now. 212-209-2950. Show your support. We appreciate it, you know, but this is a love that we've had for quite a few years. Every Saturday, 20 years I've been around. So, John's been around a little more than that. And Sandy, he came in a little bit later, but,
young whippersnapper. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. Look, we need your support. You've heard Bernadette talking about the situation back in 71. We still have political prisoners. We still have poverty. We still have Catholic working class people divided against Protestant working class people. That's why we need your support to do something about it. 212-209-2950. Let's get a few calls right now before we go across to Kate Trainer from the Release Martin Corey campaign. We need a few of those calls right now. 212-209-2950. Your calls make a difference. Your calls keep us on the air. 212-209-2950. With your support, we'll be here.
Well, as usual with WBAI, we try to organize things, but this is not the BBC. When we can't get in contact with someone, we can't just say, oh, well, that's not going to happen. Being it's WBAI, we have the ability to say, all right, we'll move this one around. We'll not play this song. We won't play Bernadette. But because this topic is so important and it's going to affect all the universities throughout the United States and probably throughout the United Kingdom and in the 26 counties, that we want to head to Ed Maloney and get the latest update about the tapes that we've been covering here, the tapes of IRA volunteers and loyalist paramilitaries that were taped and not to be released until their death. And we have the police service of Northern Ireland subpoenaing Boston College and trying to get these tapes off Boston College. And Ed, we thank you for coming on, and maybe you can give us the latest update at 2 o'clock here in New York City on WBAI 99.5 FM on Radio Free Aaron.
Yeah, hi. Hello, John.
Yeah, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
So, Ed, this week, of course, the Court of Appeals handed down their ruling at long last. Can you tell us what that ruling was?
Well, basically, we had applied to intervene in the case. That is myself and Anthony McIntyre to do so separately from Boston College, and that was essentially because Boston College had given up this fight. When they lost their case at the district, the lowest level, district court appeal level, we expected, given the importance of the issue, first of all, to Boston College itself, in the sense that this was a research project that they had funded and guaranteed, and they had given all sorts of promises to people who took part in it. And secondly, because of the wider issue of academic freedom, we hoped that they would fight this all the way through to the Supreme Court, but they jumped out of the fight at their first opportunity, unfortunately. So we had attempted to make our own case for intervention so that we could get the case reheard from the beginning with our much more political type of arguments and much more strenuous arguments than Boston College was prepared to put forward, and continue the fight that way. But the appeal court turned us down, unfortunately. So we now have to reassess our legal options, and there are several legal options open to us here in the United States, which our attorneys, Eamon Dornan, who is leading this case and done so far a brilliant job, and Jim Cotter from Boston, who's helping him out, they put forward various ideas, which we will take up, I'm sure.
But Ed, what this means is that this struggle is not over.
No, by no means, because we as I say, we have several options here in the U.S. The first thing that we are doing is applying to get the case reheard in front of the entire First Circuit, that's the Boston Area Appeal Court, because the issues that we raised, our lawyers are very strongly of the opinion, and they're supported by the ACLU in Massachusetts over this, that the court did not properly address those issues in any satisfactory way. So we are asking for what is called an en banc hearing, which is, as I say, in front of the entire appeal court. And then if that fails, we have other options. And if we finally run out of options here in the U.S., we now have permission to apply for judicial review in the Belfast courts. And we will fight that there. And if we are turned down there, we will fight it all the way to the British House of Lords. And if we are defeated there, we will fight it all the way to the European Court. So for those people in Belfast who are eagerly expecting these tapes to be handed over, they're in for a huge disappointment, because it will be months, if not years, before that's even on the agenda. And hopefully we will win and they will never be handed over.
And I believe that in the UK, because of the European Convention on Human Rights, you have more rights there than you do here.
Yeah, now, if you'd said that to someone 20 or 30 years ago, that you had a better chance of having your human rights respected in Europe than you would in America, people would say you're daft. Your America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you know these constitutional rights are there, and they're written in stone for American citizens, and Europe is so much more backward. Situation has reversed very, very dramatically. We have this thing called the European Convention on Human Rights, which, amongst other things, obliges governments to do nothing that endangers the lives of its own citizens. And we're arguing that this case, very, very real, in a very real way, does put lives at risk. the lives of the researcher Anthony McIntyre and also those who took part in it. We tried to put forward exactly the same argument here in the U.S. under the Fifth Amendment, and that was rejected by the appeal court in Boston straight away. And in fact, there's no real sort of, you know, explicit equivalent to that constitutional protection that Europe now provides. And the case law is fairly encouraging. Suzanne Breen, journalist in Belfast, who was on the receiving end of something very similar from the PSNI, and PSNI is building up a track record for intruding on the rights of journalists and the media and academics at an atrocious rate. They were knocked out of the court by that judgment, which Suzanne won on the same grounds that we are bringing, if we have to, in the Belfast courts, which is that the PSNI action would endanger her life. We're going to argue exactly the same.
And then in a generally very disappointing judgment, there was something positive in the ruling.
There was indeed something that I think is probably unprecedented, although I'll defer to you guys because you know the situation here better than I do, and what the judicial track record has been over the years. But the one of the judges, a Puerto Rican judge, which is probably is not uncoincidental, a guy called Juan Torella, issued what I suppose you could call a partial dissent, in the sense that he didn't approve of what the reasoning of the court, but felt that because the Supreme Court had pronounced on this before, that he felt he had to go along with the judgment. But in the course of his judgment, he addressed a very central issue that we had put forward in our case, which is that the Attorney General, Eric Holder, under this legislation that or treaty between the U.S. and the U.K. that enables this type of action to happen, there is a clause which says that if the Attorney General is satisfied that what's at stake is a political offense, then he can block the judgment. And Holder has refused to do that. We had argued that there was no evidence in any of the documentation that he had done what the law says he should do, which is at least address that issue. He hadn't even done that. But this judge came forward and he said, and I don't think any American judge has ever said this before, but I may, you know, I'll stand ready for correction. He said that there's absolutely no doubt that what was going on in Northern Ireland was a political struggle, and it was due to the fact that the country had been partitioned, and that there was a political struggle for reunification of the island. And he said it's so obvious that this is the case, that it's undeniable, and Eric Holder then has the power to withdraw these subpoenas on that basis. But unfortunately, ourselves as individuals are expressly forbidden under the terms of this treaty from taking from making that point ourselves. So what you have here now is a situation where one of the judges has said very explicitly, this is a political offense. The Attorney General, Eric Holder, could now take shelter behind that judgment and order these subpoenas stopped. And Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, could petition him to do exactly that. So any sort of excuse that existed before, either that, well, this is all in front of the courts and et cetera, has now gone. And secondly, the judge has given Holder and Hillary Clinton the legal cover to take this sort of action. And obviously we hope that that will happen, but a lot... Whether that happens or not, to a large extent, depends on the pressure, that Irish American exert on these politicians in what is, after all, an election year.
So, in the surprise, surprise, it comes down to it's a political question, and we have to pressure our representatives to do something about this.
Yes. Yeah, so you know, our appeal very much is to Irish America to. Contact the Department of Justice, contact Hillary Clinton, point out this judgment and say the way is now open for this action by the PSNI, which is a very suspect action. I won't go into all the details, but there are it raises lots of very dark questions about the motivation and the methodology involved here, that this action can be stopped by the American government quite easily now.
Well, Ed, thank you for that update. Unfortunately, we're a little short of time because we're raising money for WBAI today, and we won't be back until August. So, again, I'm sure at that time we will be back and getting another update from you.
Okay, thanks. No problem. Bye-bye, Sandy.
And you're listening to Radio Free Erin, and you can see with the topics that we cover, these are not just local little stories in Woodside or Sunnyside or up there in Bainbridge or Woodlawn. The stories we cover have national implications, and we have the people in the forefront. And Ed Maloney's been very good to WBAI when his books came out, particularly The Secret History of the IRA. If you really want to read about the treachery of Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams, that is the book to read to find out how they came to power, how they came to administering British rule in Ireland. It's all in that book. And that book, when Ed was up here, was probably one of the biggest fundraisers we ever had for Radio Free Erin when we had the book as a premium. So now Ed's in a bit of controversy and trouble over what's going on. He wrote a book called Voices from the Grave, which is transcripts of the tapes that were done by Brendan Hughes, who was a frequent guest here on Radio Free Erin. So as you can see, we're mixed up on a lot of the things that are going on here. And the tape and the CD that we have today is a 3-CD set for $100. And you get Bernadette Devlin when she first came out here from 69 to 71 and onwards. And you get a piece of that Irish-American history, her coming out. And we want to play a little clip out of that because now that we're sort of running into the second hour, we want to get Kate Trainer on and get the latest what happened to Martin Corey about how he was kept in jail, even though the court had ordered him out. So we'll play a little clip.
Okay, you can call during the clip. It's 212-209-2950. For a $100 pledge, you'll be able to get some of the CDs, 3D set that we're going to go to right now.
Friends, fellow citizens, many of you think you're not fellow citizens somehow in America. Thanks. Hey. Fellow socialists, I think Joan is possibly done what either the press of this country isn't capable of doing or never really wanted to do, is sum up in as brief a form as possible what exactly Bernadette Devlin is and what it is she's up to.
We
have a problem back home in Ireland. I don't know how many of this audience call themselves socialists. Many call themselves radicals or liberals, or how many define themselves not in terms of the way they think, but in terms of the places they have come from. Whether you call yourselves Irish Americans or Americans or Puerto Ricans or by some other definition, but I call you people. And our problem at home is a problem of people. It's a problem with which the Irish Americans in this community have quite rightfully identified themselves. Because after all, the Irish Americans came here. When they came, it wasn't because they suddenly took a wanderlust at home. It was because it was made impossible for them to live at home. Over hundreds of years, we came here. And why did we pick America? What brought our ancestors to this country? We weren't the only people. The Italians came, the Germans, the Poles, the Scandinavians, from every oppressed land in the country, every oppressed land in the world. The people came to America. They came because of a belief, an ideal, and a dream. That dream was the dream of equality of people. It was the land of the free that brought us here. It was some idea from home. Maybe it was faraway hills that were green. But somewhere out in the middle of the Atlantic was a very large continent, which because it was new, a new land and new ideas, and new people. We were brought here with our hopes of freedom. From the countries in which we lived, where our hopes of freedom had been destroyed. And that's why when I come, not down through the ages of Irish-American ancestry, but straight from Ireland, 1971, to meet the people who have come from my country. Sometimes I wonder who they are, because they've forgotten. They've forgotten that dream. Or else in their minds it's become warped and isolated. And it's no longer a dream about people anymore. It's a dream about Ireland. And what is Ireland? What is Ireland to the people who stay in New York? It's a land far away where your great-grandfathers came from. A land for which you have great emotional ties. The people there are made of flesh and blood, just like you are. And it's not the famine year. And it's not the rising of the Fenians, and it's not 1916. It's 1971. And we have to live there. And when we talk about our freedom and our rights, when I come and tell you about our freedom and our rights, you tell me I mustn't do it. You tell me I'm talking about things that are not Irish, that I am an alien to my country, that I've sold it out, that I have no right to associate with the Black Panthers, that I have no right to associate with the people of America who haven't forgotten the dream that brought their forefathers here, who are trying to make the dream of America a reality. But you're the people who don't understand. You're the people who are not thinking. And you know why you're not thinking? Because you've moved from the ships of contract labor, from the days when the ancient order of Hibernians didn't sit making pious suggestions about people back home, didn't sit playing the Irish-American conservatives, but when the ancient order of Hibernians played its role in building the unions of this country, the rank and file unions, when the bosses of this country couldn't count on the Irish-Americans for votes, but when the Molly Maguires led the union workers. Those were days when people in America remembered what brought them here. We weren't alone then. And you see, in the countries that you came from, where some of us still are left behind, we're fighting for the same dream. And you didn't escape. All that happened was that more and more people came here. And so the struggle has to take place here too. It's a struggle of people. Let's look at Ireland 1971. It's divided. I know it's divided. There's six counties in the north. And they're under British domination. And there are 26 counties in the Republic of Ireland. And the tricolour flies over the General Post Office. And De Valera sits up in the park. And they're under British domination.
And welcome back to Radio Free Erin, and that was Bernadette Devlin speaking in 1971, and she was getting into about a lot of the Irish Americans who forgot their past, forgot where they came from. And just to put three people in that category, certain congressmen out in Long Island named Peter King. We got the two clowns on Fox television between Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. You can only imagine what they would have done to Bernadette. Because when she came over at that time, Mayor Lindsley gave her the key to the city, and she ended up at some stage getting the key to the Black Panthers. We can only imagine what Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly would be saying about that and about forgetting about their past. And that was just part of Bernadette now getting into about the Irish and the Irish-American past. And if you want to get that for $100, you get the three CD collection of Bernadette Devlin speeches throughout this country at 212-209-2950. Please do that because we have somebody on the line from Newry. We wanted to get the latest update on some of the prisoners over there. So we get a couple of phone calls at 212-209-2950. Get the three CD collection for $100. If you don't want to get that and you just want to chip in anything towards the station and that, because realize we have a new program director. He will be crunching the numbers. Pacifica is crunching the numbers. There will be changes coming to this station and to Pacifica in general. What they are, I don't know, but something's got to give. We cannot go on paying almost $1 million in rent between the Empire State Building and 120 Wall Street. Something's going to give. And let's hope it's not Radio Free Erin, because I don't think we're the problem.
John, there's only 40 more minutes left. We're going to be going off at 3 o'clock. So you have 40 more minutes to call 212-209-2950 to get a copy of these Bernadette Devlin speeches. That's a $100 pledge to Radio Free Erin. And this is what we're sending out to you as a thank you gift. So please go over to the phone right now. We have no one calling in right now. We had a flurry the first hour, but we need to continue that kind of pace to really knock it out of the ballpark. And so 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. We need your help. We need to get this information out. We need to talk about political prisoners, as we're going to in just a minute with Kate Traynor. We depend on you. And look, as John said in the beginning, the auditors reported on Pacifica, our network. It is in serious trouble. There is a need for money. And we have to do our part. Because without Pacifica, without WBAI, there is no Radio Free Erin. We're not going to get on NPR. That's not going to happen. 212-209-2950. You could make a call right now and help us out. It's a little slow. There are people back there waiting to answer your call, 212-209-2950. Now, we are going to go across the water to Lurgan, County Antrim, to talk to Kate Traynor from the Release Martin Corey campaign. Martin Corey served 19 years in prison for IRA activity. He was out for 19 years. Then they came one morning, in the early morning, and took him away, and took him back to prison on the basis of secret evidence he hasn't never been allowed to see. His lawyers aren't allowed to see it. But, Kate, this week something very important happened with the case. Can you tell us about it, please?
Yes. This week there's been a lot of happenings to and fro. So on the 9th of July, Martin's case was before the court, and Justice Seamus Tracy had heard the case for 4 days and taken 7 weeks to deliberate on whether it was justified to keep Martin incarcerated. After those 7 weeks, which he spent a considerable period of time obviously looking at the case, he ruled that Martin should be released on unconditional bail and that his human rights were being breached by keeping him in jail and that they had no remit to keep him in jail. Just to give you a bit of background, Seamus Tracy, the judge, is the foremost and the highest human rights judge and lawyer, actually, in Ireland. So his word would really be correct. He really knows what he's talking about. So that was on the 9th of July, and Martin was to be released that day. Later on that day, the British Secretary of State, Owen Paterson, to Ireland, blocked Martin being released. So what he did was he made a call into another judge, McCluskey, and made sure, really, that Martin wasn't going to be released. Justice Tracy was out of the country. He was going on holidays that day, so he couldn't do anything. Effectively, the British Secretary of State, has re-interned Martin. On the 10th of July, Martin's legal team brought it to court again for the judge to review, and McCluskey, the second judge, refused to make a ruling on it and put it further back to the High Court to be heard the following day, which was the 11th of July, and that was heard by two judges. That was the Lord Chief Justice, Declan Morgan, and again, the Judge McCluskey. Now, they ruled that nothing had been breached, that Martin should be in jail until the parole board get to look at it, and it has been rescheduled now for the 28th of September. But all the while, Martin will be in jail. So at this moment in time, Martin's human rights are being breached, and we are working very hard to bring this to the public's attention.
Okay, this is a form of psychological torture.
Absolutely.
Like one day you say to Martin Curry, you're getting out, and the next day, no explanation, you're just not getting out.
Yeah, I mean, it was very sad. Martin was actually sitting in the reception of the prison while his family were outside in a car waiting to pick him up. And at 4:30 p.m., he was told that he wasn't going anywhere. So, yeah, you're completely right. It is a form of psychological torture. And there is no justification for it. Even at this time, the closed evidence that they are keeping him in has not been made public. So a judge has ordered his release, and the Secretary of State, who it would seem is now running the judiciary, has blocked that. But again, nothing has been forthcoming as to why.
And Kate, this doesn't bode well for Marion Price or Jerry McGill. They could do this with Martin Corey, then a British minister can do it with anyone. And Jerry McGill's release will be coming up now in February.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Marion, who knows? So, I mean, here we have, you know, Sinn Féin running around pretending that they are governing and they're sitting in Stormont and they have their offices in London. They just had the Lord Mayor of Londonderry's house was raided. They have nothing. They're just such figureheads. They take their paycheck and go home. They don't run the place.
Absolutely. I mean, these people are just subservient to foreign occupation. They are now, you know, subservient to British occupation. They're so far removed from anything Republican. They don't care about prisoners. They certainly don't care about Jerry McGill, Martin Corey, or Marion Price. I thought it was very telling this week. They're giving out a batter here about the Lord Mayor in Derry being raided. But when they kick in my back door, you know, there's never a word. I must have done something to have my back door kicked in. But for them guys, no, they're completely innocent, and this is an outrage. Again, they don't care about Republican prisoners. They've washed their hands off all the prisoners in there. And as you say, it doesn't bode well for anybody. Anybody who has served a lengthy prison time for the Republican movement can be taken back on the whim or the word of the British Secretary of State, who is the manager, if you will, of the provisionals.
Well, the British Secretary of State makes it a habit to overrule judges. I mean, he's overruled Marion Price's judges twice and ordered her back to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, this case won't even be heard until September 29th. Mm-hmm. And who knows? It could be a month, 2 months before they'll issue a verdict.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the same thing could happen to Marion Price. If Marion wins her appeal, this is what's going to happen to her. So that's why we need to organize for all these prisoners.
We do. We need to really rally now and lobby. And, you know, we're really hoping that people will start lobbying their own representatives in their area, in no matter what country they're in. So, you know, for people in America, you know, we would ask them to maybe lobby their own political representatives to get involved in this and to take a look at the, you know, the overlooking of due process that's going on. Martin Corey has went through a judicial process, and because the British government do not like the answer to that, they are now overruling the court system. They're overruling their own system, which doesn't make sense. So you cannot, if you go to trial today, whatever the answer is, if they don't like it, they're going to overrule it.
Well, one small piece of good news. In their convention this week, the Ancient Order of Hibernians passed a resolution for Martin Corey demanding that he be released and protesting what the Secretary of State had done. So we are getting the word out, and some support is building over here.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we're very thankful for the Ancient Order of Hibernians doing that. And the committee here have been able to take a look at the wording and that resolution, and you know, that really does help us. The more support we have from various organisations, the stronger the case we have, and also public awareness gets heightened in that. So to all those members and to that organisation, you know, we are very thankful for that.
You're listening to Radio Free Erin, and we have Kate Trainor on from Republican Sinn Féin giving us the latest update on Martin Corey and his plight in jail, proving once again you really do not need a court system in the six counties. You just have to go to whoever the British minister is and ask him, well, do I go in or do I get out? Because there are no juries. You got a diplomatic court system. And the judges, no matter how big or how much education they have, it's all irrelevant. And Kate, we thank you for coming on, and we'll have you back on in August when we get back on the air.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Radio Free Erin. And just on those two little short clips with Ed Maloney speaking about the tapes of IRA volunteers that are sitting in up in Boston, of which the Police Service of Northern Ireland want desperately to get their hands on. And then you heard from Kate Traynor talking about people that are sitting in a holding area with their family right outside the prison, ready to take them away and take them home, and have some minister in Britain overrule everyone in the six counties. So this is what you have. And then you're listening to Bernadette, which is the CD that we're using for $100, talking about what life was like back in 1971. So we're doing the whole full circle. We're covering what was going on then with Bernadette, and now covering it with Kate Traynor right now, what's going on.
And, John, doesn't it sound familiar? I mean, what they say about the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, well, this is it. And then you got the pretentious Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams coming over, talking about, oh, the progress of the peace process. I mean, anybody go to the BBC Northern Ireland website right now and see the water cannons that were used on the protesters in Belfast, see the plastic bullets that were used. Don't need to put a year up, because this time next year there'll be the same photographs with the same water cannons and with the same plastic bullets being used. And the only thing that has changed is that former comrades who were in the Republican movement are now taking a paycheck from the British government, administering British rule in Ireland, and building their beautiful holiday homes in Gortahawk and County Donegal. Coming up here on 2:30, we're going to play a little clip of Bernadette Devlin again, speaking about her plight when she came over and she was going across the country and giving speeches. And we have them here. And thanks to Pacifica and their archives, that we can use them. And for $100, you get the 3-CD collection. You can send in anything, but at 212-209-2950.
We've had a really great response. We want to get over $2,000. That would be $1,000 an hour, which is a great response for August. But we do need a few more people to go over to their phones, 212-209-2950. Show your support for Radio for Aaron and get these historic documents. You're not going to hear this anyplace else except for Radio for Aaron. So please go over now, 212-209-2950. That's a $100 pledge to Radio for Aaron. We'll be sending out these 3 CD sets. They won't take very long since we have them in studio. So please, there's no one going over right now to their phone call. We're only going to be on for another half an hour. That means the next half an hour, whoever calls in will be logged under Radio for Aaron. So please, it's very important that you go over now. These will not be offered any other time during the marathon. So this is your last chance to get these Bernadette Devlin speeches done in 1971.
212-209-2950. Yes, these are marvelous CDs. Very articulate. Amazing. 212-209-2950. But, you know, it's just a way of saying thank you. It's really just a way of saying thank you, because we need your support. We need your help. And you heard about the case of Martin Corey. You're not going to hear that anywhere else. 212-209-2950. It just doesn't happen. And that's why we need your support. We need your help. Don't leave it to somebody else. You can go right now, and pick up that phone and call 212-209-2950. Or if you're on the internet, you can go to WBAI.org or give to WBAI.org and pledge that way. And make the largest pledge you possibly can, $25, $50, $100, more if you can. The most important thing is that you make that pledge. You be heard from. You stand up and you say, I believe in Radio Free Aaron. I believe in WBAI, and I want to help. I don't care if nobody else helps. I'm going to help. I'm going to do it. 212-209-2950, because I believe in what you do. And I believe that there should not be Irish political prisoners. I don't want there to be Irish political prisoners. But while there are, I want there to be somebody who stands up for them, somebody who gets the word out. 212-209-2950.
Let's get 3 more people over to their phones, and then we'll go back to actually an extended segment of Bernadette Devlin speaking in 1971. But let's get 3 people over to their lines right now. 212-209-2950. One half hour left. You're listening to Radio for Aaron. This is non-commercial radio. It means no one is paying money to dictate what is going on the air. No one tells us, Radio for Aaron, what to do every week. We have no one at the station telling us what to do, but, you know, every week we plan a show, and we hope you appreciate it. No one has gone over to their phone. Let's get three people, 212-209-2950. As soon as we get three lights, we will go back to Bernadette Devlin, and we'll be playing out till the 3 o'clock hour.
Well, we might have to ask you again. If we get a good response, we won't have to. That's what we can guarantee you. If you call now, and a few more of you call, you won't have to listen to us. You can listen to Bernadette instead, 212-209-2950. This is what keeps WBAI on the air. This is what keeps Radio Free Aaron on the air. 212-209-2950. We need your help. We need your support. We can't do it without you. Without you, there is no WBAI. There is no Radio Free Aaron. And these voices don't get on the air. You don't hear about political prisoners. You don't hear about the situation in Ireland. 212-209-2950. All you hear is the mainstream media telling you how wonderful it is. The peace process. It's great. It's wonderful. It's terrific. There's no problems in Ireland anymore. 212-209-2950. You get another point of view here. You get people saying, we're still in a big lot of trouble here. 212-209-2950. We need just a couple of calls.
We have one person on the line. Let's get two more people, and we'll be going back to Bernadette Devlin.
Two more. You make that call right now. 212-209-2950. You're the one we need. You. Just make that call. 212-209-2950. Stand up. Say, I believe in Irish freedom. I don't actually want the British ruling Ireland. 212-209-2950. Or just, I believe this is a voice that ought to be heard. I believe Bernadette Devlin ought to be heard.
Okay, we have a second person calling. One more person calling, and we'll be going back to Bernadette Devlin. 212